before we thank you.
Thank you. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you this day for this great privilege and honor that you have given us to gather together, Lord, and to come into this meeting, God, for the decisions that will be made, God, that you will give great wisdom, great knowledge and understanding and discernment, God. Bless those that will be presenting, those that will be making decisions, God, that will all be according to your will. We thank you for this great nation, and we thank you for the privilege of the democracy that we share. We give you the praise and the honor, for we love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you very much. I have to pledge allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Right, at this time, Mr. Peckinghart, do we have any additions or deletions to the agenda?
Yes, sir, Chairman. We have one deletion, the presentation by the Maryland Rural Counties Coalition is scheduled for 5. They postponed it and are trying it on the agenda for the February 23rd public meeting. That will be deleted. And at the place of that, around 5 o'clock, request to go to executive session to talk about finance pertaining to the Garrett County Employees Healthcare Coalition investment policy. And that's the only change.
Thank you. Do we have a motion to approve the agenda as amended?
Make a motion to approve.
A motion, we have a second.
Second.
Question on the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. The agenda has been accepted. We got a copy of the minutes in advance of the meeting. Is there any additions, corrections, concerns with the minutes? None. Do we have a motion to accept the minutes from the January 5th public meeting, executive session on the 5th, and the 16th administrative session?
So moved.
And motion, we have a second.
Second.
Question on the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. I'd ask Brian Bowers to come forward with the bid award for the HVAC controls upgrade.
Well, good afternoon, gentlemen. I have a bid award for your consideration this afternoon. This is for the HVAC controls upgrade bid. This is a facilities and maintenance department project, an energy efficiency project where we are upgrading a building-wide management system of our HVAC controls. The bid was due on January 15th. We received a total of 2 bids. There was a bid tabulation provided to you along with the recommendation in a prior email. The recommendation is to award the bid to Simpson Technical Services. We have worked with this company in the past. The total bid price of $89,500. There's a 45-day calendar day completion time from the notice to proceed. We do need this work completed no later than April 15th due to the funding source. The funding is coming through the MEA. There's a Maryland Smart Communities Energy money in the amount of $60,000, and the balance of the project is being funded with 2014 carryover money that's been allocated to facilities and maintenance. Do you have any questions for me?
Questions? It was a good experience with this company the last time?
Yeah, they were here and did some improvements to the controls, the building HVAC controls, and over at the health department, and our work experience with them has been good.
That's one of the differences in 2 days makes it easier.
Yeah, there was a huge difference.
Any other questions? Motion to accept the bid?
Make a motion to accept the bid.
We have a second?
Second.
Motion is second. Question on the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries, bid accepted. Thank you, Brian.
Thank you, gentlemen.
All right, this time we have an update from the Garrett County Department of Roads. Jay Moore.
Yes, sir.
What you're looking at is how we track our budget through the budget year. It shows you amount budgeted, amount spent, and the remaining amounts that are left in the budget. So I'll just give you a quick idea of how we control our spending. I'll just start with this winter so far. We've used 40% of our winter overtime budget. We're basically right on where we should be. We've used about 58% of our abrasives budget. We've received 47 inches of snow. That does not include today's snow event, so we're probably in the mid-50s. Here's the part that has caused problems for us is we've had 2.3 inches of freezing rain, and that's the one that causes us to use more abrasives and material than we normally use, and that's why you see buildups on the road. We try to be as cautious as we can with the amount of material we use, but ice is just one thing you have to deal with, and it costs us more money for ice than it does snow. Matter of fact, big snow events are easier to treat than ice in these piddling little snows we have. So far, the equipment is holding up relatively well at all three garages. We've had to have four engines rebuilt for snow plows, and that's approximately $120,000 we've spent on engines. When we get to spring, we're going to start our cleanup as soon as possible. We like to do that first part of April. We plan on paving, depending on how the budget works out, roughly 11.25 miles of road. We have some roads to finish. We started Silver Knob Road. It'll have the top surface put on it in the spring. The Bell School, Frostburg, Appleton, Lodiconee Road, and St. John Rocks have had some paving done. It was decided to hold off till spring until everything was complete with the 4 mile wind project through Exelon. That paving is being funded totally by Exelon as part of the road use agreement we have with them. Some of the other roads that we'll look at doing are Pigs Ear Road, Griffith Road, and Blaine France Road. But we'll do what we do every year. We'll have the general roads foremen or assistant division chiefs, as they're called now, go out and do a thorough inspection of the roads. And we'll determine at that time if we're about to lose a road for whatever reasons. Winter is can be pretty brutal on roads. So we'll do a reevaluation in the spring of all the roads, and at that time the determination will be made as to what roads will be paved. There's going to be some bridge replacements. As you know, we're moving it forward with the River Road Bridge. That project is scheduled to be done this summer. The order's been placed for the bridge. It's approximately a $600,000 project. We also were notified, or I was notified Friday, of an impending failure, and we're going to have to react to that. It's not a bridge, but it's a triple culvert, and it's Dunghill Road over the north branch of the Castleman River. It's been deteriorating over the years, but the engineers inspected it Friday, and it has determined that it started to turn into a major failure. So we're probably at that point in the road, we're going to have to make it a single lane across that bridge, or across these culverts.
Does the Castleman Mine use that bridge to haul coal?
No. No, they use Durst Road.
Yeah.
Let's see. Here's, you want me to limit it this just to the roads, or you want to do all three departments? No.
Yeah, it's your time. I know Pat has one specific.
Yeah, we have some things to go over. That's pretty much a nutshell of the.
How many inches of snow did you say?
47, and that does include this event.
I lost a bet. I bet somebody $5 we had more than 20.
It adds up quicker than what you imagine. Now, you got to remember, the method of measuring snow by State Highways Administration is not real scientific.
That's a state number.
That's we could receive that from State Highways.
Well, that's a state number.
They clean off a picnic table out at the pole off Aerial 219 and measure whatever snow comes up on there. I think I gave you mine there.
Is there any charge on the braces?
There's
no charge on the braces or anything?
No, there's plenty of braces. And I'll just mention that. We've gone to the state spec on braces, which is a smaller stone. Over years, we've had a lot of claims filed and complaints about chipped windshields, punctured tires, chipped paint on vehicles or anything. So, and the other thing is, it doesn't dissipate as quick as what the state's does because it's a lot smaller stone, which cuts back. We pay a little bit more for it, but it cuts back on the amount of time we spend cleaning up in the spring, and it's more eco-friendly. So we try to use their spec now. So you'll see a change in that on the roads. I just wanted to give you this. This Primex pump watch unit has been installed, or is being installed, in the main pump stations. There's how many left to do?
Seven
left to do. And these units will alert one of our spill response teams 5 seconds after an event happens at the pump station. And that allows us to get people out to those areas as quick as we can. They've already prevented 4 major spills that we're sure would have been a big problem had these units not been installed. It was a $400,000 investment, and it's going to be well worth it in the long run. It's preventing these spills in the lakes that have plagued the county in the past. So I just gave you that. You can look through that and maybe better understand. And we've also talked about someday when you guys are available and get caught up a little bit, and the weather gets a little bit nicer, of taking you around and showing you some of these systems that have been installed and some of the things we're planning on doing to improve the system. We're working as hard as we can to get this Western Conveyance up and going. We discussed that with you briefly last week. We met with MDE last Tuesday. We provided them with a lot of additional information, and Pat has had a discussion with the man who met with us since then. And I think we may have helped to convince him that the lake crossing that's being proposed is doable and safe, and will have no negative impact on the lake. So we're looking forward to getting a green light to get this project underway. It's been 10 years in the making, so it needs to be moved forward. So this is the protection plan that we've been putting in, and Western Conveyance will take a lot of pressure off the existing system, and also will allow for the growth that's going to be happening in the National Land Partner development over behind the WISP. And Pat's going to update you on the alarm ordinance. Okay, the Water and Sewer Master Plan. The Board adopted the draft plan on December the 9th. The following week, the adopted plan was submitted to MDE for final review and approval. At this point, we're still waiting on the review comments and for approval, so that's still on hold. Another one that's taken way too long to be completed. I just talked to you about Western Conveyance. Again, we have the one property acquisition issue we'll head to court in April. That'll be hopefully taken care of that time. In Friendsville, there's an equalization tank Barbara presented a project to remove the existing deteriorated, damaged 300,000 gallon flow equalization tank from the Friendsville wastewater treatment plant and replace it with a new 500,000 gallon concrete flow equalization tank. Recent collection system rehabilitation projects and internal changes made to the wastewater treatment plant have resulted in an annual average flow at the Friendsville wastewater treatment plant of under 70% of the plant capacity. What that equates to is Friendsville is looking for room to expand. They need extra taps and everything, and we are working to convince MDE that they should be granted those extra taps. So currently they're under a moratorium for only three taps. Hopefully this will help them with their problem.
I missed something. So are you saying calculated there is capacity there to issue more taps? Is that what you said?
No.
Without any?
That's our opinion, yes.
But you need to wait for MDE to approve that increase from three taps.
Last year we presented this data to them and tried to convince them that they should free up some taps for Friendsville, and they declined.
Why?
They didn't feel there was enough data. Didn't feel it was convincing enough, so we waited and we collected another year's worth of flow data. Now we have two consistent years below their 80% threshold and a three-year average below the 80% threshold. So we feel that this, with the project we have, is going to be enough to...
How many taps are you looking at, roughly?
Friendsville's asking for 45. This one will take what they'll give us.
But what you've put together would support 45 additional taps?
I haven't done those calculations yet. I couldn't tell you.
And they won't agree with it anyways. So it'll be the same story as Pelsey Run. No matter how much data you give them, they want more.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know.
It's a never-ending vicious.
I fought those battles myself.
Yeah, well,
so are we asking for a specific number of additional taps?
We will once we get to that.
Yeah, once we know what this will support.
We just got this full 2014 year data, and so that's one of the things on the docket is to present that to NDE.
Plus, there's been other upgrades to the system,
right?
That should increase the percent that they're requiring. So we'll just have to put it all back together and give it to them and wait for their answer.
Can you let us know when that's been submitted to them? Will it go through Paul to sign, or will you guys send it to MDE?
Well, it usually just goes directly from
us. Can you let us know?
Yes. Bloomington Water Department presented a project in conjunction with Westport to connect to a proposed waterline extension to serve the paper mill. This connection would allow public utilities to purchase treated water from the town of Westport to supply the town of Bloomington. This would also allow public utilities to decommission the badly deteriorated Bloomington wastewater treatment water treatment plant and avoid the estimated $3 million in cost to construct a new water treatment plant. So that would be a gigantic savings. Yeah. The next one is the Garrett County Airport. Garrett County Airport is in the second year of a four-year grant program for the removal of a hill on the west side of the airport. This hill is being removed to allow the building of future corporate hangars. Garrett County Airport is out of space to build any type of hangar, so just about got them all full, or they all are full. The first year of the ALP update and narrative report was submitted to FAA for approval, and it has not been approved yet. Second year, we are now in the progress of an environmental inventory overview that's being done by L.R. Kimball, the consulting engineers on board with the airport. Some of the things we've worked on is Maryland Aviation Administration grant in 2014 was completed. It was for the placement of an emergency generator which powers the airport. That's the terminal, fuel farms, runway lights, security system, and the cost of the county was $18,095, the rest of the grant. MAA grant for 2015 is the hot tar fill of cracks, 2-inch strips, 10,000 linear square feet with extreme temperature fluctuation. Garrett County, Maryland, water fills the cracks and expands and frozen damages. That cost was $3,000, but it sealed up all the runways and the taxiways at the airport. One thing I want to ask the board, we have the annual fly-in at Garrett County. It's been very successful. We'd like to know if you would rather, if you would have a preference of whether you're having this event before the Garrett County Fair or after the Garrett County Fair. So two of the dates that we're proposing is Saturday, July 25th or Saturday, August the 15th. So just give it some thought.
Do you have a preference?
No, either one works fine. The only thing we'd like to get it in the quarterly advertisement thing at the lake. I can't remember the name of it. It's just an ad for everything. What's that?
The quarterly one?
Yeah, they put out quarterly.
Well, the lakefront is monthly. Are you talking about that one?
Maybe that's what it is.
The lakefront magazine? The
monthly? Ed said he thought it went out quarterly. Well, we don't use it. I mean, I don't look at it, so I really don't know much about it. But he just liked to get it in well in advance.
Yeah, we'll.
So.
Is there a preference right now?
You don't know that it's something that's fair because people want.
Right. Well, I don't think that neither one of those dates from the fair.
No, it's before or after. So, whatever works out for you guys, just let us know.
Does the airport have a preference?
Does anybody have a preference? I don't think we have a preference.
It just works that that time of year seems to work real well. The last three have been very successful. The first one was very successful because it was combined with Garrett County Appreciation Day.
Well, the only question I would have, and you probably don't know right off the top of your head, there's no other competing events on either one of those days in any of the towns or anywhere else in the county, Friendsville Days or Kitsmore Days or anything.
July 25th, maybe. I can look it up on the online calendar and see.
Because I know they moved Friendsville Days and Kitzmiller Days to bump off the fair. I think they moved it the week ahead. Yeah. Nicole, could you look at that and see and maybe make a recommendation to Jay from the chamber?
I'm thinking the August date because that July date is going to be, you know, both you're still in the summer season. The July date is probably going to be incredibly busy. The August date, you might have better crowds coming up there.
Okay. You guys okay with the August date?
Yep.
Yeah, just so we'll probably all be at Mako. We probably won't be there. I think Mako starts the 15th, I believe. Summer Mako, I think. So I'm okay with it.
It's that week. I don't know.
All right. Why don't we move it to the following week then? Which would be what, the 22nd
of August?
Let's make it August 22nd.
Sounds good.
Okay. We'll turn it over to Pat now to talk about the alarm ordinance that we're working on for the plate.
Good afternoon. Following in line with our Primex alarm systems that you guys have a packet off there, we're looking at doing something on the individual grinder pumps, phasing an audible alarm system into those control panels over the next 5 or 6 years. They're about $60 a piece in materials. That would take the guys an extra hour. We're looking at doing it on a PM, preventative maintenance schedule, as they're scheduled to go out and do preventative maintenance on the grinder pumps. They'll go ahead and install these if there hasn't been one installed already. The idea being, we've had several backups this year, sewer backups into homes, and in the past 4 years, several sewer overflows from grinder pumps that the red lights flashed like they're supposed to, but nobody was home to witness or call in the overflow. The idea of the audible alarm is to put something else out there for the public, either the homeowner or the neighbor, if they're not home to hear, so they can alert us if there's an issue and hopefully stop some of these things from happening. It's something that won't increase user fees or ad valorem taxes. It's a minimal fee. We think we can work into the standard O&M fees over the next several years. On average, we do about 450 preventative maintenance visits a year. So we operate 2,300 of these grinder pumps around the county. So it'd be spread over several years, cost wise.
All right. Do you guys have any questions for Jay or Pat? Pat, did you guys do any presentations of PACE water and sewer projects?
We did. Yes. We presented the both the Bloomington and the Friendsville projects.
Okay.
Jay referenced.
Any just initial feedback from the folks there?
I think we have a good lead with USDA. Also combining some work on the Western Conveyance Project. I think if that pans out, we can probably get a good bit of grant money for the Bloomington and Friendsville jobs. We are going to go ahead and present all three of them into MDE for consideration this week. Let's see how that goes.
Okay, great. Thank you, gentlemen.
Just one other thing real
yes,
quick,
sir.
Since Mike Drisbach and Steve's support is here, excuse me, we're working, and Steve and I are going to be meeting with some of the board members at the college, board members,
the staff
members, in reference to the trail walking path that's being proposed from the college down to along Mosser Road to the intersection of Mosser and 219. That's probably going to require, if this moves forward, involvement from you guys. I don't think we really have any firm numbers right now to work with, but
we have an initial estimate on the trail of $175,000, and we were looking at Maryland Bikeways grant in that particular area because it is a college as well as a business community. Connecting a college and business community only requires a 20% match. All the other grants would normally require a 50% match. So we are trying to identify that match. The reason that our timing on the meeting with Joe Gelman is that they're going to submit their budget to their board in February, and we push and ask to see if they could include some of that 20% either in kind or in cash for that match. That's, I've been working with the community to look at a lot of different easement opportunities there. We have most of them in place, but we need that next commitment.
Yep, and it may require some participation from the county if you so desire to participate. So it's going to be a collaboration between the college, and we hope they participate as much as they can, us, and somewhat state highways when we get down, because they're going to do a reconfiguration of some type or redesign of their intersection. With crosswalks and stuff, because there's a lot of student pedestrian travel to some of the businesses along that area. So,
is it a crosswalk at the light, or
okay. Thank you, guys.
Did I take some of Rodney's time?
Yeah, a little bit. That's all right.
That's okay. I'm going to learn to cut myself short.
Nicole?
Yes, because you're ready to retire.
Just to confirm those dates for you, July 25th is Friendsville Days, the 24th and 25th, and that's their 250th anniversary celebration. So, and then they also have another event on August 15th. So, and I don't see anything on August 22nd. I think you're better going with that.
All right, great.
With August 22nd.
Okay.
Before Jay leaves, I want to compliment the public utilities.
Quiet, please. Pat. Go ahead.
I just wanted to compliment you guys on actually taking action to try to catch these overflows at the lake, because whenever they happen, it really is a big concern for the public, and we get involved in posting the lake and having the sample, and it's not a good, it's from a public relations standpoint, it's terrible. From a public health consequence, or public health aspect, it's probably not that big of a deal, although certainly if you have quantities of sewage going in there, 30, 40, 50,000 gallons, that can be a major health concern. So
what they're doing, I think, is really going to improve things. So I appreciate you guys working on that and taking action to try to address that. Good job.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
And Jay, pass on to the roads guys. Very well done so far, especially with all the ice in particular. There has been more ice than normal, and we appreciate what they're doing.
These guys do a good job. A lot of hours in. Well deserved, and I'll pass that along.
45 inches.
All right, Rodney, what do you got from the health department?
Okay, what do I have? 5 minutes?
About 30 seconds. You got all the time you need, Rodney.
He said he was late. He got in front of me. Had a lot of time. I wanted to give you an update on our accreditation, public health accreditation process. This is something we started about a year and a half, 2 years ago. It's a really, public health has never been accredited before, public health departments, and this was an initiative by the National Association of County and City Health Officers to try to actually document the health departments are taking care of the 10 essential public health functions in the community. And I thought it was going to be a good thing for us to try to get, because I think I thought we were doing a lot of things that accreditation tries to document you're doing. We have a very good health department in Garrett County, and so we wanted to see if we could actually get that accreditation. The devil's always in the details, so it's been a long, trying process for us. The first thing you have to do, you have to make sure you have a community health plan. Well, we certainly have done that. We do that through our health planning council. Part of that is you have to actually do a community health assessment, and that was part of our MAP health plan that we did back in 2008, and then we updated it to get ready for this accreditation process. You have to do a strategic plan for your organization and make sure that's linked to the community health plan. So you have to have an organizational chart, and we had to get a letter of support from our approving authority. Now, what letter of support we used was the county commissioners. So we had a letter from the county commissioner saying, as the approving authority, we approved the health department going through this accreditation process. We could have got it from DHMH too, but it would have been a little more cumbersome to get that one.
Who are you accredited by, an association?
It's a FAB. It's a nonprofit organization, Public Health Accreditation Board. So it's a private nonprofit that was set up to accredit public health departments. Just to give you an idea, there's 60 health departments in the country that are currently that have been accredited. There's about 300 that are doing the accreditation or in the accreditation process at some stage or another, and there's about 2,800 health departments. So we're one of the first 300 that are actually engaged in the process. In Maryland, Worcester County's been accredited, Frederick County's been accredited, Allegheny County has actually had a site visit, and I think Harford County just had their site visit. So we'll be the fifth health department in Maryland that actually the accreditation board is going to come do a visitation in Garrett County probably in the next 2 or 3 months. As I said, the devil's in the details. When you look at what you have to do, there's 12 domains that we have to show that we are competent in, and under those domains there are standards that you have to meet. Each standard you might have to provide two documents or two newspaper articles. It's really really difficult because it's stated you have to have done these things within 2 to 5 years, depending on what the standard is. You have to have it dated, branded, signed. All these type of things are necessary. And you know, actually going through this process, I think we've made a lot of improvements to our processes at the health department. So it's been a good exercise to go through. Just give you a good example on policies. We now have a mechanism where we review all the policies that we have at the local health department every year. There's a committee that gets together in September now, and they review them, and then they bring them to me and say, yes, we recommend these changes, or we don't, and then we sign them every year. Before, you know, we had policies that hadn't been looked at for 15 years, 10 years. So now there's a process in place to actually do an annual review of that. Strategic plan. We never had a strategic plan, and few health departments do have a strategic plan at the local level. So actually putting a strategic plan together and linking it with some of the community outcomes has been a good thing. So I don't want to belabor the point here, but we had to upload over 200 documents. It took about a year to do that. We have a, unlike the bigger health departments, we didn't hire anybody to do it. We did it all internally with our management team primarily. Everybody took a domain and started and worked on those documentations. Now this is important for you guys because you're the Board of Health. And when these folks come for the site visit in March or April, one of the things they want to do is meet with the approving authority. And so we would probably have you come over when they do the site visit and talk to them about how your experience with the local health department, how you view the governance. And I'm just not going to have you come over. We'll have a meeting with you and talk to you about how that works and what your role is as a Board of Health and those type of things. But it's
tell
really
us what
important.
To say. Huh?
Yeah.
Tell us what to say.
Well, no, I want to educate you on say whatever you
educate.
Want.
Huh? Yes.
Okay. I don't think any of us would have any problem bragging about you and the health department.
Well, it's not necessarily.
I'm sure there's certain things. Well, testifying as to your. Efficiency.
Well, I mean, you'll say things like, well, I ask you, well, so what do you do with the health department? And so we would give you a list of regulations that we actually enforce on your behalf, that type thing. We talk about the planning process. We talk about meeting as a Board of Health every twice a year, those type things. So I just want to get that down on paper for you and give a little background for you before they actually come. We'll probably also have people from DHMH, either the deputy secretary or the secretary, have to talk about it. But that's coming up, so it's kind of important that.
It sounds a little bit like ISO certification for quality, and the value of that is the process you go through, like you said, to get ready and get prepared, and all the things you discover and have to put.
Yeah, and so
do you have to be recertified annually? Then
every five years. So you know we've learned a lot through this accreditation process. So now. As we do things, you know, everything's branded at the health department. Now, when you do a PowerPoint, you're going to see a public health brand up there, and your health department brand on it, and date and everything. It's pretty. All our minutes are now signed that they're branded, so that they're on letterhead. All those type things are important to document what you did. The crew that's coming, the head of the accreditation team is coming to visit us. Is Kathleen Maroney. She's she works for the Maine Center for Disease Control, so she's from Maine. And we also have a David Chang, who's in Virginia, the Portsmouth Health District. He's a director of the Portsmouth Health District, and James Sandmaker, who works at a health department in Northwest Michigan. So these are. What they do is they try to find a group of your peers to come and do the actual accreditation or actually do the site visit. And then they go back and they give their findings to the board, and then you're either approved or they'll say, no, you've almost made it. Here's what you have to do for the next 6 months to actually become accredited. I think it's important that we get this. It really tells you that we do have a good health department, that we're meeting the essential functions of a public health department. And I think it'll give us an advantage in getting federal grants, maybe even some state grants, that they'll favor health departments that are accredited and can approve this. The other thing we're doing is an accreditation for our substance abuse and mental health department, a CARF accreditation. That's going to be another 18 months that you actually have to accredit that the clinical services that we're providing in those programs for us to be able to get Medicaid and other reimbursements. So after we get this public health accreditation over with, we need to go into the CARF accreditation for substance abuse. And speaking of substance abuse, we got a federal grant, which was a drug-free communities grant. And that grant goes to the Drug-Free Communities Coalition, which health department does the administrative work for that coalition, but it's you know, the police officers, the police is represented there, the court system, the school system, meetings about once a month. I don't know if any of you have got to attend some of those meetings. I'm sure one of you is assigned to it. So what that group is doing is trying to look at at prevention activities, and we can adopt evidence-based prevention activities that can reduce the amount of youth involvement with drugs. And we had a community cafe scheduled today at six to eight at the health department, but that's been canceled. It's been rescheduled for February 23rd at the College of Community Education Center. It's kind of a we're going to provide the drug-free communities coalition is going to provide the meat, bread, drinks, and they're asking for a people to bring a covered dish. I mean, you know, the whole purpose of this is to really talk in a comfortable environment with people about what makes sense, what we really need to do to address this issue of drug use with our with the kids in Garrett County.
What's your take on the heroin situation in Garrett County at this point in time?
My take on it is it's getting worse. And I mean, we have a lot of evidence to show that, whether it's the number of people that are actually getting outpatient substance abuse treatment for opioid drugs and heroin. If you look at the number of people that are going to the methadone clinic in Cumberland, that's increased dramatically in the last 3 or 4 years. If you look at some crime statistics, you can see it. And we also have a grant. You know, we went from zero overdoses in 2013 to six in 2014. And or it was 2012 to 2013, but no, I think it was 2013 2014. And so because we had such a great increase in the number of deaths, and four of those were related to opioid drugs or heroin, I think two were heroin and two were prescription drug overdoses, but two were alcohol. But because we had such an increase, the state, of course, when you do bad, they give you money. When you do good, they take the money away. But so we have a grant. One of the grants that they gave us is actually to do this overdose response training. And so we have what we're trying to do is train people that either through their volunteer work, maybe rescue squads, or their regular work, some people like school nurses, or if they're in social situations where they might encounter somebody that's having an overdose and is unconscious, you can actually administer this naloxone and bring that person back to life when they'd otherwise die. There was just a well-publicized case, I think, in Allegheny County, where a police officer came across somebody that was unconscious. There was an article in the Washington Post yesterday, something like 52 overdose deaths from heroin a year in Anne Arundel County, one a week. Baltimore City, they've used this program, the naloxone program, actually revived over 200 people. Now, the idea isn't to give somebody this naloxone. It really takes the place of the heroin on the nerve receptors, and it basically sobers somebody up immediately. But the idea isn't to just allow people to overdose and continually bring them back. But the idea is to save that person, make them realize they have a serious drug problem, and get them into treatment. And so it gives them another chance in life, is the way I view it. And if it's your kid or your a family member that's having a problem with this, it's a valuable thing to have these kits available to be able to actually administer that if they're having a problem. The class on Friday is totally full. We're doing about 20 people a day, a class. There's another. Another one on February 17th from 5:30 to 7 p.m. That's at the Garrett County Conference Room. Now, what you're going to do, what we do at this is we do an overview of the overdose epidemic. We train people on how to recognize whether somebody's having an overdose, what to do, what type of emergency care you can administer. Of course, it's call 911 immediately, too. And then actually, we train them on how they administer that naloxone, and which is the antidote to the overdose. And then we do, this is what you need to do to follow up the individual. Obviously, he's going to need counseling, and hopefully we can get him enrolled in a treatment program if we revive them. So people that take the class will be getting a certificate that they've been trained, and they'll also get a prescription for an naloxone kit. They'll take that to a pharmacy. Pharmacy will provide them that kit free of charge, and then they'll bill the health department back. And we'll pay for it.
Okay.
Okay.
Anything else?
I got plenty else. but I think my time's up.
That was more than 30 seconds. But,
no, I know, but I wasn't as
long. I asked you a question.
You got to
know. Oh, yeah. Questions for?
Well, I'll stick around for Dirt Trails. So.
Appreciate what you do, Rodney. Thank you.
Maybe sometime we can sit down, too, for an hour. Maybe you could come over to the health department, but basically I'd like to get off. Remember, we can walk around and see what various programs we have and get a better understanding. Maybe we probably ought to do that before the accreditation board comes.
All right.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Before we go any further in the agenda, I want to welcome our young Boy Scouts here. Thank you guys for coming out. It's always good to see young people. I'm sure Dad's forced you to come out here today for something, but it is good to see some young people out here, so welcome. At this time, we have an update from Mount Haven Wellness and Recovery Center, and I think Patty is going to talk to us.
It's Patty. Hi, gentlemen. First of all, I'd just like to say good afternoon. And my name is Kathy Schrock, and on behalf of OCA and Mountain Haven, we'd like to welcome you as our new representatives to Garrett County. Mountain Haven and the OCA staff would like to, let me tell you a little about Mountain Haven. Mountain Haven is a part of the OCA, which is an Office of Consumer Advocacy, which is ran through Hagerstown. Mount Haven serves Garrett County residents who suffer from mental illnesses. It is staffed by those who have or have had a mental illness. Our program is free, which means there is no charge for services. These services include mental health groups, educational groups, advocacy for those who may need help with benefits or housing. We are open 5 days a week from 11 to 5, and we offer a hot meal and as well as free transportation. As an extra service to the community, we also offer the food pantry program through the Maryland Food Bank. This service we have had since May of 2014, and we have served over 400 families and are growing strong. We hope to continue this service for those in need. I have here, gentlemen, a couple of folders for you to look over. It's just information on mental health, more about Mountain Haven, and so I don't take up too much of your time. I'll have you sign this, and then I'll be on my way. And if you have questions, please feel free to ask.
Thank you very much.
And also, Mountain Haven will be participating in the overdose training.
Great. These are all the same way, don't
they? Yes, they are all the
same. I want to warn you.
Do we all need to sign the sheet? Or?
Yes, please. Just the proof is I was here.
What are we signing? What are we acknowledging?
It's just acknowledging that I was here to give a presentation.
You're not taking my house from.
Pardon?
You're not taking my house from.
Oh no! That's what my boss don't yell at me.
It says general power of attorney.
Okay.
Yeah, make sure you put in the minutes. I was here too.
Thank you very much, Dad. We appreciate
you.
Your time today. Thank you for what you do.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
All right, next up we've got Garrett Trails, a fine group of people here representing Garrett Trails today, so we'll turn it over to you folks.
All right, first of all, thank you guys for getting me off the snowblower. I apologize I didn't get all dressed up, but my wife loves to smell diesel fuel, so I'm hoping when I go back home she'll appreciate all that. In all seriousness, thank you guys for having us here today. The Garrett Trails Executive Board, we've got Rodney, naturally he's on the Executive Board, Steve Green from High Mountain Sports, Mayor of Oakland, Peggy, everybody knows Peggy, and Steve Stork is our Executive Director, and you all know who I am. I would like to also thank you guys for your participation in Garrett Trails Board meetings. It's really refreshing to have a lot of commissioner interest in what we do, and particularly want to thank Commissioner Tish Heimball for attending the meetings, and we're looking forward to seeing you at some point in time. I know you're really busy, but we'll get you in there. You guys were kind of lucky because back in August you had a chance to attend our FAM tour. And on that FAM tour, I think most of you realized how much stuff, how many projects we're actually trying to accomplish, and how big this idea that Eastern Conwell Divide New Prayer really is. So back then, it sort of gave you a base amount of information. And what we wanted to do today was just give you some quick information about all of our projects and share with you a challenge that we have as Garrett Trails. And one for each of you guys. Monty, I'll give you a copy. Okay. What I'm extending to you is our last Gear Trails meeting, and for you guys, as you attend, you will find that we keep everything out front. We also included a budget. We gave you some data on how much we have in our account and so forth. And for us, it's important, if you look at these pieces of data, you're going to find out that we've got a lot of projects. The one that says Garrett Trails project list with the Garrett Trails logo on it, when you start looking at our 2015 involvement in those trails alone, we're in the middle of about $750,000 worth of projects. In some cases, we really did implement those things, and in some cases, we've actually helped a lot of them proceed. So when you look at it, we think that Garrett Trails really does get involved really heavily in Garrett County tourism. There's no doubt about how much we bring to the table. And I wanted to give you just a little bit of a sense, since you guys are new commissioners. 4 years ago, the executive board made a real aggressive move forward. We decided that we were going to go for this Eastern Continental Divide Loop Trail. And at the same time, we wanted to make Garrett Trails Garrett County destination for tourism. People who want to hike and people who want to bike and just get outdoors. And I will also tell you that over the last 4 years, we were able to leverage grants and participation from downstate to the tune of about $1.2 million that were brought to the county. And in some cases, it was a little hard to get all that money here, but we were able to do that. And we're really looking forward to the next 4 years, not just with you guys, but with the new governor downstate, and we're hopeful that he's going to make an equal contribution or bigger contribution to Garrett County and more of the trail. When we went on this aggressive path 4 years ago, we determined that the people that are volunteers on our board, we have a great board, we really do, and but a lot of us have businesses. You know, we're small business owners, and we have full-time jobs. We said that what we needed to do was to look at an executive director. And that executive director position, at that time, Steve put his number crunching figures together. We said, you know, to do this right, we need a person, we need about $50,000 in our budget in order to come up with that position. Well, I will tell you that with the help of Don Briggs from National Park Service, you guys met him on the FAM tour, Don was able to and has over the years given us some cash for doing special projects for the National Park Service. Don stepped up to the plate, had $10,000 available for us, and then between that and the taste of Garrett Trails, Garrett County, our big restaurant event, we were able to hire our first executive director. Now, the dilemma was we hired a part-time executive director. We actually had Teresa McLennan, you guys all know, she came to work for us with the hope of maybe at some point in time there was going to be a full-time job there. I will tell you that our executive directors have really worked hard. I'm sure that in Teresa's case, she got part-time pay for full-time work in some cases, and so she really did a great job. Teresa left for a full-time job. Couldn't blame her. She left for a little bit more salary, and she really did want a full-time position. Last year, we were able to fill that spot with Steve Stork. We were lucky to get Steve. He has good roots in Garrett County. Knows the Ock River as well as anybody else, and he's going to be vital to us making sure that we get the DNR down the Ock River at some point. And everyone knows that his dad, Don, from the college and all the contributions he made. We were lucky to get Steve as a part-time position. He did have a job with NOAA, National Oceanographic and Atmospheric Administration, and so that was able to fund him a little bit. Plus, I think he's got a really good wife. The wife keeps him out of trouble in some cases and helps fund some of his things. When you look at our agenda and you look at all those things that we're trying to accomplish up there, and the one piece was our 2015 to 2017 list of activities, you can see that it's pretty difficult to figure out how we've gotten this far. We do have a lot of volunteer time that goes into this, and we'll keep saying to everybody that Garrett Trails makes a significant contribution to the county when it comes to tourism and drawing people into it. We do a large amount of work that I will tell you that Allegheny County calls parks and recreation. You know, there's a lot of towns around here that have parks and recreations east of us. In Garrett County, we have said for the last 4 years to the board that sat in front of where you guys were at, we need to look at that activity. If you really believe tourism is important to us, organizations like Garrett Trails is a tourism arm, but you really need to look at the parks and rec world out there. This year we went out on another limb. You all know about the Grand Fondo, the big bike ride that comes to town. There was a little bit of maybe controversy about it because it was a great fundraising event. All the money went into the Melanoma Foundation. So a lot of the money went out of the county. The county did all the infrastructure work and all the policing and all those kinds of things. This year, I give Steve Green a lot of credit because Kyle Yost and him got together early or late last year and negotiated a way for Garrett Trails to take over Grand Fondo. And what we've done now is it will be a Garrett County event from now until whatever. We're going to take Grand Fondo, we're going to roll it into the same weekend with the Taste of Garrett. So the Garrett Trails organization will have a whole weekend. And Grand Fondo is on a Saturday. We'll do bicycle events on Sunday for kids and for adults about bike safety. Then we'll do the restaurant event in the evening on Sunday evening. Grand Fondo in itself will bring at least 1,000 bikers to the county on that weekend. We've got a number of hotels already agreed to give discounts, so we're looking to put butts in beds. You know, some people call it heads in beds, but I call it butts in beds. And we're going to put beds in there, which will create more occupancy and increase things for the whole county. I will also share with you just a thought. My executive board's a little worried. We have a part-time position, and naturally, we're worried about Steve. At some point in time, his wife's going to tell him, go get a real job, get a life, make a little bit more money. And we can't afford, at this point, where we're at this juncture, to lose another executive director. If we lose another executive director, it's going to put the county backward, big time, because there's not enough free hours in our businesses and what we do here to fund this kind of an activity. And I will also tell you that the last 4 years we've approached the commissioners and said, hey guys, we need you to help us. We need you to give us some administrative support. We've talked to them about $50,000 a year, and we talked to them about $50,000 a year, and we talked to them about $50,000 a year. And when they left office, we were still talking to them about $50,000 a year. What we're proposing to you gentlemen is that we don't really need $50,000 any longer. What we need is $30,000. We need to, in the next 2 years, be able to hold ourselves into a place where we don't have to worry about an executive director looking for another job. We need to have that person be there to fund and go through all those project lists so we can help leverage for some more grants. And we also think that once we get the Grand Fondo on board, 2 years from now, we won't need your help. You know, we won't need your help to make this happen because we've hired Teresa McLennan, who's going to be the coordinator for the Grand Fondo. She's going to be the transition team with Teresa and Steve. We're going to make this thing a bigger success. We're going to go to 1,200 people. And we think that added piece of income will get us out of the place where we don't have to worry about being able to give an executive director a fair and decent salary. So I guess what we're asking you guys is at this point is to consider a $30,000 opportunity to help fund Garrett Trails. We don't necessarily necessarily want to be a part of the chamber. Sorry, Nicole. We really like our autonomy. We like our 501c3 status. We have an executive board that controls what we do. And we like to have that kind of ability to make decisions that aren't maybe necessarily in a political mode. It's a third party mode. So we'd like to be able to do that. And I will suggest to the commissioners that it's really not difficult to come up with $30,000. If you look at occupancy taxes, you guys have occupancy has increased and increased and increased. I'll give you just one little tidbit. My business pays occupancy tax. We collect it from our people who come to stay. We send a check in on time, and then the county gives me a rebate of 1.5% because I send it in on time. I would suggest to you that everybody in this county wouldn't really be hurt by taking that 1.5% as a rebate because, oh, you're a good guy, you collected the taxes, and we'll give you 1.5% for collecting. If you look at that number, if you look at that pot of money that goes out of occupancy tax, you can fund Garrett Trails. You can fund Garrett Trails pretty easy. So there is a mechanism to do that, as well as I do know that a large chunk of occupancy tax does go to the chamber, and the rest of it goes into general budget, into the general account. So our ask to you guys is that we're looking for $30,000, hopefully for a 1-year commitment or a 2-year commitment, and we've given you a sort of an opportunity to look at fundraising. You guys have anything to add to that?
The only thing I'd say is just not a tourism thing. This is a benefit to our county residents. As Rodney's here, as our health representative, there's no one in this county that wouldn't benefit for 20 minutes out on the trail. And that's what we're here for.
Yeah, that's one of our top priorities that we've identified in our community health plan. Obesity and the complications that obesity, the chronic disease complications that entail when people aren't fit and they're not getting enough exercise and not getting the proper diet. Steve's exactly right. We need more opportunity in the county for people actually to have good trails to walk on and not be afraid to ride their bikes on.
Thank you, gentlemen. We really appreciate it. Any questions for us?
I have a question. Can you summarize that, put that in a letter and wet to the budget process, which is underway right now, and then we'll take it under?
You need it. What's your deadline, Monty?
2 weeks.
Okay. We'll get you a letter and just basically summarize that.
And your request for 30 and whatever summarize there.
Okay.
That way we'll have that for the...
That's right.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it. Appreciate all your work, too. Obviously, I've been involved with the trails. I'm a big believer in them, so we all appreciate it. All right. Hey, look at that. We're ahead of schedule. We deleted the Maryland Rural Counties Coalition. That'll be at a meeting date at the end of February. Now comes the time for constituent input and public commentary. Is there anybody that has anything you'd like to share? Yes, sir.
I'd like to ask a question about the Adventure Sports Center International Complex. Number one, this is a multi-part question. I believe Mr. Heimball and Mr. Paganhart were two of the original people to come up with the idea. Mr. Raley was the third commissioner.
I've never been a commissioner, sir.
No, I didn't mean a commissioner. Are you Mr. Paganhart?
Yes. Can we have your name, please?
Randall Layton. Okay. My question is, the original federal grant, how much was that for? $20 million?
I'd have to get Scott. I don't know. It's way before me. I'd have to bring Scott in for that. Do you know the answer to that?
No. If you're going to ask that information, we'd ask if you get that in writing to us. We'll go back and pull that and get you an answer to all your questions.
Well, that money, the original grant, to get that grant, didn't it have to be backed with taxpayer money, a certain portion of it?
What I'm saying, there were some match monies in that. There were federal dollars. There were some private dollars in the terms of some land exchange. There were some local dollars, and we can get you that whole breakdown of what made
that. Well, I understand that Karen Myers, she filed bankruptcy, and you guys bought it for an additional $30 million, did you not?
No, sir.
No.
How did that work, then?
Again, if you put that in writing, this is public commentary.
Right.
If you were on the agenda or put something in advance, we'd have the answers. If you put that in writing to me, I'll get you every answer that you're asking.
The only thing I'm really interested in, I would like to see the total number of tickets sold and maybe an article in the Republican stating the economic impact of it. Because tourism jobs are part-time jobs, and most of them don't pay any money. They're low-wage part-time jobs. I mean, there is no substitute for a 40-hour-a-week job. And to invest all this money in tourism, I just don't see it. I really don't. And I hate to be rude to you guys in any way. I hope that I'm not. But I'm just looking for some answers to some questions.
Well, thank
I'd
you.
Like to know the total amount of money that was put in and whether or not there are any interest payments on money that has been spent on it. I would like to see the total investment and its impact. I'm not really interested in the businesses around there either, like the Wisp or anything. I'm interested in whether that place will ever be profitable or ever pay itself off.
Well, I think you asked legitimate questions, no doubt. Matter of fact, we had a presentation today on Deep Creek 2014. There will be a public release on that at some point in time in the near future. We're waiting on some additional economic impact analysis. That will all be made public as soon as we have it. So that certainly...
Do you know who will be writing that report?
Not yet. We need to discuss that. We got an overview from the executive director today. We're waiting on the economic development piece.
Sir, it just seems funny to me that you could close down three schools, not have any books for the children at the schools, but you can run down there and cater to the wealthiest people in the county. I know that it's rough around here as far as jobs go, but to create a bunch of part-time jobs that don't have any benefit to the people that basically work them, I mean, you could hold down three of those jobs, and one job would just pay for your gas to get to work.
We certainly understand your question, appreciate it. We've had some of the same questions. You got to realize this has been a project that literally is years in the making. We've been sitting here for about 8 weeks now, maybe a little bit less. So we did not vote to do anything. Not passing the buck, we're going to deal with it because we got hand, you know, we'll do what we got to do. But the closing the schools and all the things you're referencing was not done by any of us. And
I don't know, I just question the whole idea of it. I mean, it only serves a small select group of the county. And in my opinion, I think the money could have been better spent providing good jobs for the people in the county.
But if you would list your all the questions, exactly what you want, and get it to us, and we will make sure that you get that information.
Well, thank you for your reply. I hope I didn't cause you any trouble by asking the question.
No, you asked legitimate questions.
I think that, you know, they're legitimate questions, and questions that we've all asked, because we want those same answers. As has been stated, we've been here 6, 7 weeks, 8 weeks, less than that. And we're, as Paul said, we just had a briefing on this, and kind of comprehensive to try to absorb it all right now. But those are legitimate questions and questions that we've asked, and I personally want the same answers that you want.
Who would be doing this study? The people that proposed the deal in the first place?
No, it'd be county staff. The executive director that was hired gave the comprehensive overview today, and the rest of the information to come from economic development.
I thank you very much, sirs.
Thank you. Thanks for coming. Any other comment? Yes, sir.
I've got a question for you. Have you made any decision as far as the continuation of the committee basically been disbanded on fracking? I have personal preferences there. I think that if they couldn't have resolved the issues that they've had at this point, I can't see where it's going to
Well, it's a good question, and actually we have a meeting with the chairman of that committee
next Monday,
and that'll be part of the discussion. So to answer your question directly, no, there hasn't been a final decision. The conversation we have with him will help drive the rest of that decision. Thank you. Anyone else? Mayor Martin, you were abnormally quiet tonight.
Well, I think there were some reports today on services that Commissioner Pineball might want to take advantage of mental health.
I think you're probably right.
Okay, if no one has anything else, again, thank everybody for coming out. We will, with a motion, move to executive session to discuss the Healthcare Coalition benefits to employees.
So
we have a motion. Do we have a second?
Second.
Question on motion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? We will now move into executive session. Thank you again. Have a good evening.